We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Michigan wins 31-10 behind 343 yards on the ground. You had two great performances by Blake Corum and Hassan Haskins, but this offensive line dominated the game from the start to the finish. We're going to get a chance to talk about that, the defense and how dominant that was, putting pressure on the quarterback. So stay tuned in here on In the Trenches.
Let's go In the Trenches with John Jansen. The former Wolverines captain and Michigan Sports Hall of Famer will take you inside the locker room with players and coaches.
We got to do more maze outs because that crowd was just electric coming out. That first drive, I mean, that thing was popping in there.
Once again, here's John Jansen.
We've got so much to cover, and I want to make sure that Brian and I get time to do that. Brian, let's break this game down.
Yeah, John, special night. And, you know, last week was special because it was such a long wait between games in the big house with fans. But this was a game that would have been special in 2021, in 2019, in 1997. This is what college football is all about, and Michigan delivered.
It was awesome. I mean, to be able to be on the field and look up and see all of the maze in the stands, to feel the energy that the crowd brought to the stadium, and the fact that the players and the team and everybody on the field matched that intensity, it was special. And then you throw in there halftime and the blimp going overhead with the flag, and it just was an unbelievable atmosphere. And one of those games that if you were in the stands tonight, you're going to remember for a long time because it was just that special.
All right, let's break down this ball game, and in particular, Michigan's running attack. Blake Corum, 21 carries, 171 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Hassan Haskins, 27 carries, 155, and 1 touchdown. What did you see from that Michigan offensive line that allowed those two to go off like they did?
Well, and here's where I was really curious to see what they were doing on first down. That first half, obviously going to halftime up 10-0, they come out, they get the ball, and I know Jim and Dan were talking about it. We talked about it a little bit at halftime of coming out and making sure they made a statement. And that first drive on first down, I'll give you these. They had 4 first downs. It was +4 on first down, obviously leading to a 2nd and 6. That's a great position to be in. Then they were +11, +17. +5. When you are that good on first down, and it obviously ended up being 8 plays, 73 yards, a Blake Corum touchdown, all were runs. You set the tone for what Washington is in for the entire second half. And first downs, this team has been extremely, extremely good.
And you talk about setting the tone in terms of just How demoralizing is that for an opponent when you have two fresh guys like Blake Corum and Hassan Haskins? You have this offensive line just grinding you out. It just seems like it's interminable. It's never going to end.
Well, and here's what happened to the Washington defense. It has been over a decade since they've given up 100-yard performances from two backs on the same team. Blake Corum had 21 carries, 172 yards. He averaged 8.1 per carry. Hassan Haskins, 27 carries, 155 yards, and he averaged over 5.7 yards per carry. When you continue to pound on a team and they know that there's nothing that they can do to stop you, when you get to the end of the third quarter and then into the fourth quarter, it is so demoralizing. And for Michigan's offensive line and for those two running backs to know every time when a play comes into the huddle or they look to the sidelines and it's a run, you're licking your chops and you can't wait for that ball to be snapped because you know you are going to destroy the individual that is across from you, because that's the confidence you have because you've been doing it all game long, and nothing in the fourth quarter says you're not going to do it again.
So Michigan's offense with the run game really overwhelmed Washington. How about the Wolverines defensively? Because they had control of this game. Washington had a few chunk plays here and there, didn't string together a whole lot, and when they did, most of the time Michigan bent but did not break.
Well, and you look at when they got their chunk plays. It was at the end of the first half, so they could go over 100 yards in the first half of total offense. And then in the second half, it was, hey, you knew they were throwing the ball. And late in the fourth quarter, they started to get some chunk plays. There were one or two intermixed in the rest of the game, but for the most part, that's when Washington got the bulk of their yardage. And this Michigan defense continually put pressure on the quarterback and on Morris. And yeah, he didn't, throw any interceptions, so that's an improvement for them from last week. But when you are constantly running for your life, even when he was able to get the ball off, it was David Ojabo, it was Aiden Hutchinson. They were beating him up physically, and that takes an absolute toll on a quarterback.
What more can you say about Aiden Hutchinson? You talked to him plenty during the spring and summer about how he demanded that this strength and conditioning staff wear him out every single day. Well, he's now returning the favor to these opponents. I mean, dude was everywhere.
He was. And, this is something I've been very critical of him, of this defense, of this team, in the fact that we've heard about guys talk about what they're going to do and the tandem of defensive ends or the revenge tour or all of these different things. And then when it comes time to play, it just doesn't live up to the hype. Aiden Hutchinson hasn't gone around talking about what he's going to do. He has just gone in the weight room and shown his teammates how he's going to go about his work. They have followed. They have responded. And he has come out now in this game, 2.5 sacks. Last week he had a sack that caused a fumble. You continually do that. That's where you show leadership. That it's not, hey, we had a great win against Western Michigan. Look at us. We're so good. Look, we did this against Washington. Look at us. We're so good. That's not what you're hearing from these guys. It's not what you're going to hear from Aiden Hutchinson. He continues to go out there and show and lead, and that's what this team needs.
Special teams, vital. The Jake Moody field goal, Brad Robbins with a few booming punts, returns were there. There wasn't a massive play in the return game, but everything was solid. Special teams helped to turn this from, maybe it would have been a two-score game, maybe got a little bit dicey there, to really being a runaway.
Well, how about you go for a fake punt on fourth down on your own side of the field, you convert that on a special teams play, and then the next play, Blake Corum goes, 67 yards for a touchdown. If you don't pick up that first down, if you don't have the guts to make that call, then Blake Corum doesn't have the opportunity to get in the end zone and to show his speed and what he can do. And we'll talk about his speed here in just a little bit, but that is what this special teams has been able to do. They've been able to provide a block kick in the first game, a fake punt in game two, and all of that provides for, I know it's Northern Illinois next week, but it's Rutgers, it's Nebraska, it's Wisconsin. It's the games that are coming up where those teams are looking at it and they have to spend practice time saying, hey, on a field goal, you got to make sure you do this. You got to make sure that you stay low. Every time that they have to practice something like that, they have to practice against a fake punt. It takes time away from what they're doing offensively, defensively, and it's just another way that special teams can help this football team.
John, before we talk about the long-term deal with this victory, I do want to get your thoughts on what we saw from a remembrance and an honoring of those we lost on September 11th, 2001, 20 years ago today. It is amazing, and it shows the resilience of this country that on this type of day, more than 100,000 people can come to a place like the Big House, can celebrate, can honor those we lost, and do it in such an incredible way, from the halftime show, all the pregame festivities. It was a special night for football, and it was a special night for remembering what happened 20 years ago.
There's so many stories of individuals that knew somebody, whether it was, you know, a friend, a coworker, somebody that had influenced them in some way, shape, or form that was lost on that day, September 11, 2001. And to see the names on and the pictures on the scoreboard as the bagpipes were playing, that was an emotional moment. And to just wake up this morning and know what today meant and what it was 20 years ago and where we were. And you know, I think Jim Brandstetter and both he and Dan Dierdorf talked about this in the pregame of, there are a few days in your life where you remember exactly where you were, what you were doing, how you felt. It's all imprinted in your mind. And September 11, 2001 is one of those days. And to be able to remember those that were lost on that day, to honor those that, you know, when you just look at what happened in New York, that whether it was the fire department, the police, the first responders that continued to rush into a building knowing that there was a really good chance they weren't going to make it out. And they had family at home. They had wives. They had kids. They had, you know, moms, dads, grandmas, and grandpas. And it just was an unbelievable opportunity today to use sports. And if you think back to 2001 and the college football, pro football was all put on hold for a week. And then when it came back, it was a moment for people used it to remove themselves for 3 hours of what the reality was. And just to be able to watch a football game, to celebrate a football game. But sports has always been one of those events that has been able to unify us and bring us together. And that Monday night football game that followed, I was a part of. We were playing in Green Bay, and the flag that was held, the moments that were had, that were shared by anybody, and it didn't matter what jersey you were wearing, what helmet you were wearing, we were all on the same side. We were all Americans, and it today brought all of that back to the forefront, where it needs to stay and it needs to be.
Really well said, John. Michigan gets it done 31-10 here in Ann Arbor. Saturday's game was presented by University of Michigan Health. There's a difference between an answer and a Michigan answer. To learn more about Michigan's best hospital, visit MichiganAnswers.com. All right, now to our postgame interviews. And first up, here's John with head coach Jim Harbaugh.
Coach, initial reactions on your second win of the season?
It was a really strong win, a really great team win. Thought the defense, offense, special teams, I mean, had some had great moments. And, feel great about it, you know. On a night, Steve Hutchinson was the honorary captain and John Jansen's behind the mic. I mean, it's a pretty darn good performance by the offensive line.
It was a great performance by the offensive line. But let's talk about Steve real quick. What did it mean for you to have him back and talk to the team, a new member of the NFL Hall of Fame?
Yeah, it was awesome. He talked to the team on Friday. The squad gave him a standing ovation, and he let it rip. It was great, and he was out of practice all day Saturday, and you know you could see the intensity, you know, pregame too when he went out there for the coin toss. It just, I think it got everybody, in the mindset of tough, strong, you know, the image he played in.
Well, let's start with the offensive line. You run the ball 56 times, 343 yards on the ground. What did that performance mean to you, and what did you see from him?
Well, we saw, great play by the offensive line, but also the backs. I mean, the backs, Hassan, Blake, you could tell that the way they were running, it was hard. They were Washington was having a hard time tackling them, and a lot of teams do, but we just kept going back to it until they stopped it. They changed defenses probably four or five times during the course of the game. And great job by our offensive line of making all those adjustments. They were going from four down to three down to strong safety, Sam blitz, you know, their corner, double corner. I mean, they were doing everything they could, and our guys just kept adjusting and opening up the seams.
And Cade McNamara, we'll talk about the passing game in a minute, but they kept bringing that corner, as you mentioned, and then I think it was the fourth quarter, he stuck it in there and kept it and beat that corner blitz. Is that the type of guy that you continue to see at practice that is aware of what's going on in terms of the defense attacking you guys?
Yeah, great observation. He kept it one time in the first half where he shouldn't have, but the big play he made when he kept it on the strong safety blitz, or Sam, one of them that was coming off the edge. And then like, get the first down and get down. And he said he had one man to beat and tried to make a move, which
didn't work.
At least he held onto the ball and got the first down. And Fishing did picked up some big third downs as well and through the air. And I thought it was let's keep going back. It's a strong team win, big win.
You mentioned last week the performance of Andrew Vistardis against this defense. They changed it up a bunch of times. They brought extra guys in the box. First, I know that he came out late in the game. Any update on what caused him to come out? He's going to be okay?
Yeah, he's going to be okay. He was cramping. Okay. He ran the ball 50 what? How many times?
56 times. Yeah. You're about to cramp up. Yeah, yeah.
You might cramp up a bit, but he had a whale of a game. Outstanding. I thought our run defense too was tremendous. And there's. You know, there's still things, a lot of things to work on, and I think that it's good to get a win and have things to improve on as well.
Any concern with the passing game? Not as much production as the running game, but what do you need to do to bring it along with the run game?
Yeah, our communication. We weren't always playing the call. We weren't always in the right spot and guys doing the the right assignment. So that's a big one. You know, communication. Where we talk, and it's got to be better. Get the guys in the right spots. But pass rush was outstanding, and the run defense as well. And I thought we had some real good plays in the secondary. Some good play. But, turn a couple guys loose. They got us on a slant pass a few times, especially in the first half. And also Jake Moody, got to throw him in there before that was a career-long field goal. The thing would have been good from I don't know how far, but it was well struck.
I was standing underneath the goalpost, and it was, 52 yards, and I think it would have been good from at least 65. But how much confidence does that give you when you get to the other side in the opponent's territory that you're going to be able to get 3 points?
Well, quite a bit. I mean, had a little bit of a wind behind him, but that thing was – really well struck and right down the middle, and Brad Robbins and William Wagner. I mean, you just get a confidence in the whole battery, the snap, the hold, and the kick.
Defensively, putting pressure on the opposing quarterback. 4 sacks tonight, 2.5 of those from Aiden Hutchinson. David Ojabo had another one. Just the performance that Aiden Hutchinson continues to put out there.
Yeah, it was, there was at one point where you're just like, oh my gosh, I mean, the way he's playing, and they resorted to everything. I mean, they were chipping him. They were finally chipping him with the tight end before he went out on his route. And, it's – I can see it. I mean, we had the same problems in practice trying to block him. And, it's nice to see other teams, having the same issues.
Well, with as much attention as he gets, it frees up everybody else on the defensive line, as well as we saw some linebacker blitz put pressure on the quarterback as well.
Yeah, and they were – I mean, they were going, a lot of quick game and a lot of shots. And then when they started to need to get the ball downfield more, that pass rush was there. But, it really forces it, limits what you can do. I mean, you gotta turn to the quick passing game, try to get it out, in a second and a half, 2 seconds. Because max protect and try to throw some shots and, that's where we were good. We were good. They tried to throw shots on our corners, and Jamon may play, Vince may play, and things to get better on. And we're not falling in love with our stuff because we can get better.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Let's go to the locker room and talk to the players. First up, from right after the game on the field, here's quarterback Cade McNamara with our Doug Karsh. Doug?
First, you got to talk about your offensive line and the job that those guys did up front.
They did a hell of a job. Couldn't be happier with the way we ran the ball today, the way we pounded a rock. That last drive was huge, and that was a representation of this game.
You know, I know Jim Harbaugh emphasized setting a tone on the first drive of the second half. When you guys went 8 plays all on the ground, did you do exactly what you wanted? You feel like you accomplished that goal right there?
Absolutely. That was huge. That was a huge momentum swing to come out. It was great.
You talk a little bit about the fans and the stands, the student section, the noise tonight, how much it impacted this game?
Yeah, this game was, the atmosphere was incredible. And they had an impact in this game. I mean, starting off with the delay of game, that was awesome. And love our fans.
And of course, the defense was great as well. Tell us about their effort.
Defense balled out today. I'm just happy to see that they finally got after another quarterback the way they've been getting after us in practice. So super proud of the defense.
And the first time you've played a full game, how'd it feel?
Felt great. Yeah, absolutely. It's actually a weird stat. I didn't know that was the case, but feels great to be a Michigan Wolverine.
All right, thanks for your time.
Yep.
Let's flip quickly over to the defensive side. For a second straight week, as we talked about, Aiden Hutchinson was everywhere. And for a second straight week, he caught up with Doug after the win.
Aiden, first of all, the feeling in the locker room, big game, national TV, night game. These are the games. These are the reason why you come to Michigan, isn't
it? Oh, yeah. We live for these games. We knew we were going to be on primetime TV. I'm just so glad and happy with our performance, but we had a ton to work on. That's what I love. You know, when we balled out, we had a ton to work on, and just imagine how good we can be defensively.
Yeah, your defense really got the job done, held them to 10 points. Talk about what they were trying to do against you guys that you saw and how you guys countered it.
Yeah, it was pretty much what we expected. You know, they were trying to, I don't even know, I was just knocking dudes out, you know, just playing ball, having fun. You know, it was, I'm just really happy with our performance.
Was there a lot last week? You told us Mike McDonald, your new defensive coordinator, was calling out plays before they happened. Did it happen again this week?
I didn't hear him because I wasn't on the sideline too much this week, but, I mean, I think we prepared so well for this and, we were so ready to prepared for this game. So
talk a little bit about the offense and their ability to run the ball. When a defense knows the offense is going to run and they can't stop, it's got to be a demoralizing feeling.
I mean, that is just demoralizing. That's the only word I can think of. I mean, I saw a drive, must have been a 10-play drive, and they didn't pass the ball once. I know Washington, I was talking to the guys, and they play really deep coverage, so they're giving them the run, so they're taking what they're given. And, I mean, but when you see the constant just smack mouth, run the ball. I mean, it's so much fun to watch on the sideline. And it's nice because they chew up the clock a little bit with all those runs, and you get a little break.
Obviously, you guys want to create as many turnovers as possible. It hasn't been a ton, but fourth down stops are huge, and you had several of them in those. Talk about those money downs and getting off the field on those plays.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason it's called a money down. I mean, that's when you got to make that money and make them plays. And I think that's what our defense did tonight, and I'm really happy with how we played, you know, when we got to the crunch time.
You had a couple of sacks. Take us through them from your perspective. What do you remember?
You know, just playing the chess game with the O-line and opened up on a couple of them, took my opportunity and made the most of it.
Can you talk about the impact the fans and the maze out had on the game tonight?
We got to do more maze outs because that crowd was just electric coming out. That first drive, I mean, that thing was popping in there.
Hey, appreciate your time. Good luck.
All right, thank you.
All right, now to the 1-2 punch on the ground. We start with Hassan Haskins.
Hassan, let's just start with the job the offensive line did. You guys obviously came out, wanting to run the football, and it worked. But talk about that group up front.
Yeah, man, they did their job tonight. I definitely want to thank them, because if it went for them, you know, it wouldn't be no rushing yards or nothing like that. So I definitely thank them. But them boys been working all week since we started in the summer. You know, they just been doing their job, working, getting better, 1% better every day. So definitely appreciate them.
Offensive linemen love run blocking. Were they asking for more running plays in the huddle?
Oh, yeah, most definitely, because, you know, you got Blake and myself, you know, we're going to do our jobs, you feel me? So they love that run blocking, so.
You're showing so much patience waiting for the play to develop in front of you. Talk about that part of your game and how it's improved.
Oh, yeah, you know, I just want to see everything out and just make my choice, you know, whatever hole I see. Squirting through it, you know. So definitely got to be patient.
Obviously, the passing game is something you guys are going to want and need as the year goes on. But as the plays kept getting called and they kept coming in, you knew they were running. Did you have any problem with it? Were you getting tired?
Oh, no. You know, I'm a running back. I love running the ball. You know, that ain't no problem with me. So, hey, it is what it is.
All right, let's talk about Blake's long touchdown run, that play call, the move he made, and getting into the open field. Take us through it, what you saw.
Oh, yeah. I talked to him. He say the puller, or whoever the puller was, hit something. I forgot what happened, but, like, he just seen a wide-open hole, and he just took it. And the safety had a bad angle or something like that, and, you know, he just ran right past him. It was over after that.
Hassan, your touchdown run was kind of a nail in the coffin. Take us through that play.
Oh, yeah. I kind of just hopped outside. It was one dude, even one-on-one. And I kind of just stiff-armed him, got in the touchdown. You know, that's what happened.
Talk about the atmosphere tonight, the maze out, the students, the crowd. Tell us about what that means to you guys during these games.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely phenomenal. Man, I can't even talk, but it was definitely a good atmosphere to play in. You know, all your fans wearing maze. And it's just a sight to see. You feel me? Looking around, seeing everybody wearing maze and just being loud, you know, it's definitely a good atmosphere to play in, you know.
What can you say about the Washington defense? They seemed awfully tough, but they seemed to wear down.
Oh, yeah. You know, they are right. Actually, one of the linebackers, I think number 43, was talking a little stuff, saying we couldn't run on them. But you see, we got our yards in there, so.
Yeah, well, you only had two backs over 100 yards. You had 155 yards on 27 carries. Blake, 21 carries, 171 yards. Nice job. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Haskins with 155 yards and a touchdown. Blake Corum, 171 yards, 3 scores. And here's Corum with Doug Karsh.
Well, his number's awfully good for the Michigan running backs. Blake Corum, 21 carries, 171 yards, 8.1 yards per rush. That's got to sound nice.
Yeah, that sounds amazing, but I got to give it to the offensive line. You know, they came into the game today being real physical. They fired off the line, made my job easy once again.
That's a good defense over there. And early in the game, it was tough sledding, but the play calls kept coming in, run, run, run. How did you feel? You're getting tired at all, or is this just like a running back stream?
Nah, man, I felt like I just kept getting better over time. You know, I felt like the momentum was starting to pick up. Offensive line just kept getting better and better, and we were getting more physical and physical.
There were some turning points early in the game. First of all, they got a fourth down stop on the 1 yard line, and then they got out of there and had a good punt. And they may have had you guys on the ropes a little bit, but a big fake punt from you guys. Did you know the fake punt was called?
For sure. I knew coming into the game, Coach Jay, he did a phenomenal job of coming up with that play. And so I knew we were going to run it in the game. I just didn't know when, but it was a perfect time.
It was a huge sequence because it was the next play that you went 68 yards for a touchdown. Take us through that play from your perspective.
You know, from my perspective was we fake clapped just to see what type of defense they were in. We switched the play. The offensive line fired off the ball, left me one-on-one with the safety. And I knew from there he wasn't going to be able to catch me. So I put a little move on him, and I was out of there.
The offensive line, guys kept coming over and congratulating them on the bench. Did you talk to them much during the game?
Talk to them every time I was on the bench. You know, just keep doing what you're doing. I'm following you guys. Like, they make my job, like, really easy.
Obviously, you're going to want to develop the passing game as the season goes on. There might be a game where you guys pass for a bunch of yards. Do you guys really care how you get it done?
No, I mean, I think, like we said, it's the team. Whatever it takes to win, we will do. But I agree, you know, we'll get the passing game going, and we'll be real versatile.
There's something about being able to run the ball when the other team knows you're going to run the ball. That's got to be a great feeling for an offense.
Yeah, it's a great feeling because you know we own them. previously this week. It was a linebacker on the other team. He had an interview and said we wasn't going to run on him. We proved him wrong. So, you know, now it's just putting our head down, remaining humble, and going back to the drawing board and getting better.
Blake Corm, thanks for your time.
Appreciate it.
Great stuff, as always, from Blake, Hassan, Aiden, Cade, Coach Harbaugh. Thanks to all of them for joining us after Michigan's dominant win. As we'll do all season, the final season of Jim Brandstatter and Dan Dierdorf here on our radio network, we're going to bring you their post-game segment, their thoughts after this victory, a Michigan win over Washington, 31-10.
You talk about the numbers that Corum and Haskins got, but Dan, you're right. I mean, that offensive line in that opening drive of the second half, when Michigan took the ball right down the field, didn't throw it once, and just rammed it down the throats of the Washington Huskies, put it in the end zone, and went to a two-score lead. That was not just strategically a point score. That was an emotional score, because all of a sudden Washington's going, holy cow, we can't stop these guys. And that's in the back of their minds whenever they take the field.
These are numbers that I just did not think possible. That first of all, we ran it 56 times and for 343 yards. I just, looking at the quality of this defensive football team, this is not a MAC team. This is not just some run-of-the-mill group. This is a quality defensive football team, and we just barnstormed them. On our offensive line dominated from beginning to end.
Barnstorm. Right. Dominate. I mean, that's – remember in the opening game we talked about what were we expecting and what do we want to see from Michigan, and John Jansen was sitting above us and he said dominate, and you said dominate. And we dominated. This Michigan team dominated a Washington team from a Power 5 conference, from the Pac-12, who was expected to be a contender for the Pac-12 North Championship. Yeah,
and then factor in – that we only gave up 10 points, again, this was a quality team effort, special teams, defense, offense, all three phases of Michigan played really good football.
You mentioned special teams. You know, all of a sudden, within a defense that basically shuts out Washington in the first half, right?
Right.
Jake Moody hit a 52-yard field goal. And I mean, that gets lost in all this.
Robbins had a couple key punts.
Robbins had that one key punt late in the game.
A couple 50-yarders with no return.
Yeah, the 60-yarder, though, that returned 3 yards for a 56 he net.
Flipped the field.
Exactly. So those kinds of things all play in a victory like this against a quality opponent.
Yeah. I mean, there is so much to feel good about up in that Michigan locker room. It's almost midnight. But I'm telling you what, they're up there celebrating, and they're feeling awfully good about what they did, as well they should.
And one thing, you know, everybody talks about it. You know, you got to say, okay, what are the coaching points? Where do you coach after a game like this? And there's one number that you can look at and say, okay, guys, we threw for 44 yards. Yeah, we rushed it. It was great. But we got to get open. We got to give Cade better protection. There's all kinds of things. Subtle nuanced things that a coach can say that to be a full football team, to be an offense that's balanced and everything, we need to do a better job there. The receivers have to pick it up and get open.
Yeah, I know.
Those little things, I think, are the coaching points that you go forward.
Yeah, I know Ronnie Bell's on crutches, but that, you know, the passing game tonight, it is what it is because of how well we're running the football. But we're going to have to. We're not going to run for 300 and some yards every game. We're going to have to become an effective passing team, and that's going to have to start next week.
At some point, you're going to need the pass.
At some point, you're going to need to throw the ball to win, and we need to get to the point where we're not uncomfortable being in that position.
As the Michigan band begins their post-game show, Dan, last comment. I don't want to throw you a curve, but
no.
9/11, the commemorative job that the University of Michigan did for this date in history, our history of this country. Your final thoughts on that?
Well, you know, all of us who make a living talking about a sport realize how it's not very significant when you think about what happened 20 years ago today and how many people, you know, you want to say how many people lost their life. How many people were murdered? They were murdered, those Americans, in the Twin Towers and those first responders. And there's a lot of us that are still angry about that, as well we should. And so, you know, having the relief and the opportunity to immerse yourself in something like a football game, I think it's cathartic, and I think it's we love it, and America loves football, and the Michigan family tonight came through in a big way. I thought what they did at halftime was so inspiring, but at the same time reverential and thought provoking, and you know, that's all you can ask for.
And all I know is that with performances like this, with the work that the University of Michigan Athletic Department did, the phrase, "we will never forget,"
right,
means something. And with what they did tonight, we will never forget, and we never should forget. That's what 9/11 is all about, besides the Michigan victory.
Great stuff, as always, from Jim and Dan. All right, John. Let's look ahead. Michigan will get a ton of praise, deservedly so. This was a very complete win. But as you mentioned earlier, this team's done a good job of staying focused on the task at hand, not worrying too much about predictions and trying to announce that they're there with words. They do it with actions. That will get a bit tougher this week, though, because there'll be plenty patting this team on the back.
Well, there's going to be a lot of that, and that's where we need to continue to see the leadership. I talked about Aiden Hutchinson and the fact that, you know, how he is gone to work and not talked about it, but gone on the field and shown what he can do. We need to continue to see that from these juniors and seniors, from these captains, that, hey, you know, we're 2-0, but just, you know, 2 weeks ago, remember, we're not ranked. Nobody was giving us any respect. And while this is a good win, it's not going to be one that continues to garner a lot of respect. You have to go out there every single day and earn the respect that you demand. And unless you demand that of yourselves, no one else is going to give you that respect either. So it's a matter of going out and putting in the work so that when you play against Northern Illinois, again, I've said this before, it's not about Western Michigan. It's not about Washington. It's not about Northern Illinois. It won't be about Rutgers. It's all about Michigan. They have to attack this day. And listen to what Coach Harbaugh has said. You got to attack each day. It's about making yourselves better. As an offensive line, this was a great performance. But what do you need to do better to get that passing game going? Cade McNamara, what do you need to do better to get that passing game going? There was a ball that was on the ground. Blake Corum, maybe he needs to just be a little bit more patient and not rush as Cade McNamara is making his fake and he's spinning around to hand the ball up. There are so many different things that you can look at and say, this game was good, but it could have been great defensively. You continue to put pressure on the quarterback, but there were some chunk plays. I don't care if it was garbage time at the end of the first half, garbage time at the end of the second half. You have to go out there and demand excellence every single play. And until that happens, until you demand respect from everybody and show that you've earned that respect, you got to go to work, and tomorrow is that first day that you get a chance to get back in there, watch film, get better, and make sure against Northern Illinois, you're just a little bit better.
Thoughts on the Huskies in that matchup? They won at Georgia Tech week one, lost a shootout at home to Wyoming here this weekend. It feels a lot like that first matchup against Western Michigan of, hey, can you take them out of it early? Can you seize control in the first few drives?
Well, I'm just going to focus on what Michigan needs to do. They need to continue the momentum that they've built in the run game. But I think next week they've got to find a way, whether it's play action pass, whether it's drop back, to get comfortable with the passing attack. You cannot go into the Big Ten season just running the football. Yes, you'll be able to win some games, but consistently win, you've got to have both phases of your offense working at a high level. Cade McNamara, whether it's being comfortable with his receivers, it's the receivers finding ways to get open, reading the zone, reading the man, finding those little crevices that they can find a way to make a play in the secondary. Somebody has to step up at the receiver position, and Cade McNamara has to put the work in to make sure that those guys have the ability to do that.
A lot of fun tonight, John. Great stuff as always. We'll talk to you on Monday night for Inside Michigan Football.
This was a beautiful Michigan victory. Can't wait to continue this football season, and we'll talk to you then. Thanks, Brian. Go Blue.
All right, another big week coming up on MGO Blue Podcast, starting on Monday night with the radio replay of Inside Michigan Football. Tuesday, Defend the Block. Wednesday, we're back within the trenches. Thursday, Conquering Heroes. And then Friday, the preview episode, Michigan and Northern Illinois, coming up high noon on Saturday at the Big House. That'll do it for this post-game edition, a successful edition of In the Trenches. Michigan a winner, 31-10 over Washington. Thank you so much for listening, and go Blue.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of In the Trenches with John Jansen, part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network, MGO Blue Podcasts. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.